Motivator. Mentor. Marketing authority. Branding specialist. Influencer. Social media tough guy.
And the undisputed heavyweight champion of content.
Listen up. Get in the ring and get ready to go toe-to-toe with Corey Disson and the Go Get It Podcast.
Yeah, man. Fist bumps to the immortal Charlie Toro for lending his pipes to our intro for season two of the Go Get It Podcast, where we try to take a quick, fresh look at the topics, influencers, and issues that affect the VO media or marketing world. And we're always trying to level up by going toe-to-toe with anyone about anything if it helps motivate you to go get it. The Go Get It Podcast is brought to you by All Social, a new social platform with influencers in mind. Download the All Social app or log on to joinallsocial.com. So let me shoot straight with you here. If you're known as a motivator or a hard-charging entrepreneur, a fitness junkie, you tend to set the bar pretty high for everything that you do. And knowing that to achieve your lofty goals and to get to the next level, you can't do it alone. You need someone to motivate you. So who motivates the motivator? Who coaches the coach? Who leads the leader? So a year ago, I took a long look in the mirror. It was time to check my ego at the door and enlist the services of someone to push me not only physically, but professionally as well. And that person should embrace hard work, but also should have shared interests and passions. Well, after doing a ton of due diligence, I landed on a guy that was the epitome of that description. Oh, and he just so happened to be the director of strength and performance for the New York Yankees for 12 years. This guy's been featured on ABC News, Good Morning America, MLB.com. My friends, please help me give a big go-get-it welcome to author, speaker, and world champion performance coach, my friend Dana Cavalia.
Thanks for having me, Corey. Big day for us today.
Yeah, man. Here we are, my friend Dana Cavalia. It sounds good to say that.
Yeah, I like the sound of that too.
Cool, man. So real quick, I mean, for those folks who might not be familiar with the title or the term, what is a world champion performance coach, and what does a world champion performance coach even do?
Yeah, so when it comes to what we do, it's really building champions, right? We're building champions. We're building champion people. And when you put enough champion people together, you build a champion team. And in the end, you hope you get to celebrate. And that's what I get to do each and every day with guys like yourself, others, you know, in across different industries is help them achieve what it is that they define as their championship by helping them navigate whatever's in front of them. And, you know, whenever you're trying to be a high performer and you're working towards high performance, you're going to face different obstacles, you know, whether it's, hey, I want to improve my body, I want to improve my energy, you know, I want to improve, you know, my overall clarity in terms of where I'm going. And that's really what coaching is not one dimensional. It's so multifaceted. But for me, my journey always starts with each person by saying, hey, what's the elephant in the room for you? What's the one thing that if we can get that right and moving in the right direction, it'll start to move you closer to, you know, to goal and what that champion and to get you to become that champion that you define for yourself.
And you got your chops in Major League Baseball. So who are some of the players that we might recognize you worked with?
Yeah, so players like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, Alex Rodriguez, Roger Clemens, a whole list. And I always say I was fortunate, you know, many of my colleagues and people that I went to school with even, you know, they worked at local gyms, and for me, I got a chance to learn my craft working on Formula One cars, you know, the best in the world. And it taught me so much because I got to see what the difference was between a really, really high performer and somebody that was average and just an okay performer. And I learned from the players I got to coach just as much as they learned from me.
So I got to imagine, I was just getting ready to say, there has to be some anecdotes, stories that you use that you translate for your clients to say, hey, this is something that happened with this athlete that helped me learn how to communicate better with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately what I've learned is that every player and every person that you communicate with, they have their own individual style of not just communication, but also absorption. Like, I would never handle you the way I handle somebody else because you're you. And there's very, very specific attributes that make you you. So our style of communication between myself and you, it's very unique to us. We have our own style, our own lingo, our own vibe. I know your touch points. I know the things that get you excited. I also know the things that could chap you. So,
oh, I know that.
that's the difference, you know? So what I learned is really how to communicate, with all different types of people, personalities and players. So that was a big, big takeaway that I took, you know, from my career. And that I still continue to, use to this date.
So coming from the fitness and the athletics world, how does that translate to the CEO and the average Joe that you might be working with?
Yeah, well, again, I cut my teeth in professional baseball, which what people don't realize is actually just a gigantic business with baseball bats, gloves, and balls. And you're learning that now as you go through it with your son. And it's a big business. And I said, I was an asset manager for $300 million in human capital that had to be deployed every night at 7 o'clock during the week and 1 p.m. during the weekend. So it's a big business. And what I, you know, if you've ever been to a big league ball game and you go for batting practice, you see that there's all these business folks that are kind of watching batting practice from the field. And I always used to hang out in between the cage where the players would hit and where those individuals would stand. And time again, I'd have these business guys, these high-level business guys, call me over and ask me questions about how they can improve different elements of their performance. Hey, how can I improve my focus? Or, hey, what's the best way to lose 10 pounds? Or, hey, what do you do when these players don't actually want to come in and train? You know, so compliance and all that. And it opened up this dialogue between me and these again, business elites. And then they started asking me, hey, would you ever work with guys like us? And I would joke around and I'd say, well, how much are you paying? and I thought, you know, we were just kind of messing around a little bit, but they were actually very serious. And that's what kicked off my executive coaching business. And it's been great.
So You're a published author, Habits of a Champion, read it cover to cover. It has kind of served as a roadmap for me, teaching me plenty of new things and reiterating things that I was kind of already doing, but just maybe in a different language. But you talk a lot about consistency over time and doing things brick by brick. What's the lesson there for the solopreneur or the small business owner or the freelancer?
Yeah, the lesson is this. I always get asked, what's the difference between an elite performer, let's just say a player that's a Hall of Fame player, a businessman or woman that's at the top of their game versus somebody that's average? And I say the difference is very simple. The high performer, they do something Monday, they do something Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're very consistent in their behaviors and they're consistent in what they're doing on each of those days. The amateur, they do one thing on Monday, they do something else on Tuesday. Wednesday, they try something else. Thursday, they're back to what they did Monday. And Friday, they forgot what they did on the other 4 days and they start over again. So they never actually define and create a process of success for them that's personalized for them. Myself and you, we're different people. Our journeys, our roads, how we define success, it's all different. So we each need to create our individual roadmap to get us there. But the basis of that roadmap is being consistent every day in the activities that we define as what I call your IPAs, which are your income producing activities.
Yep, I'm very high familiar
performers,
with that.
Yeah, high performers, we don't have the time to waste. So when we do things and we put time towards something, it must yield a dividend.
Excellent. Pay attention to that, folks. IPA, he's not talking about craft beer. So one other key point that I often try to communicate to, you know, the people I talk to is, as a freelancer, entrepreneur, business owner, you're often in charge of so many people, whether it's a staff of employees, whether it's a cast and crew of vendors, whether it's a wife and three kids. You're in charge of a lot. You're responsible for a lot of things. And a big thing that a lot of unsuccessful people fail to understand is learning how to be the CEO of you.
Yeah.
Why is that so important to put yourself first?
Yeah. Well, it in order to be great and build something great, you have to realize that it's going to, especially if it's your entity, it's going to stem off of your vision. It's going to require so much of your energy to build something great as a solopreneur, especially in the beginning, before what I say your business begins to take shape and you begin to get lift, where you really start to feel that business coming and going hard up, you know, and it's like a plane kind of going towards the end of the runway where it just lifts off. And at that point, you'll be in a position to hire more help to help you. But either way, you're the CEO of yourself. It is so important that you put yourself in what I call the first position, because there's so much required of you. There's so many things that you have to do, and there's so many people you're going to come across that will potentially drain your energy, that if you're not in the first position where you spend the first part of your day building your energy, which is really like building your resistance, there's no way you're going to make it out alive, because you're going to be in what I call energy debt by the end of this first, you know, before you get to that lift phase. So you got to be really careful. So when you put yourself first, that means you're focused on your mindset, keeping that strong, healthy, positive, and upbeat. You know, you're focused on your physicality. You're leaning out. You're cleaning up your diet. You're only taking things in that yield positive energy for you, because energy always wins. So you may be smarter than me. This person may be smarter than you. But if you can show up and bring more energy, enthusiasm, and passion to your craft, to your business, to your dream, you will have a better chance at winning than the person that's brilliant but is broken down and is being a bad CEO to themselves. Because ultimately, when you're a bad CEO, you end up bankrupting your company, which in this case means bankrupting yourself.
Well said. I mean, and in other words, you know, folks, you're going to get a lot of distractions out there. Now, obviously, if you have a family, everyone has to attend to their significant other, their children. You know, you have school functions, you have people that work for you, etc. But the point I think Dana's trying to make is you have to learn or create the time to put yourself first. Get up 20 minutes earlier. Invest a couple extra bucks in a healthy breakfast. You know, get that workout in. Leave no excuse, because if you do those things, then all the business pursuits get that much easier.
Exactly.
So on that note, because I put a nice big bow on everything that we've talked about, let me just reiterate that Dana is my coach. I have been working with Dana for a year. The results that I have received are both measurable and immeasurable. Yes, I've lost a ton of weight and leaned out and got back to the form I was in my late 20s. You know, I'm pressing, you know, hundreds of pounds and achieving all these goals there. But I'm also having quite a bit of success in my entrepreneurial efforts. And for that, I am indebted. And I'm also very thankful that you joined us on the Go Get It podcast today, Dana.
Yeah, awesome. And again, you're a guy that I love to work with, because what you understand is the connection between working on yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, and watching your business accelerate as a result of that. So when we began this journey, you had a vision of, hey, this is what I want to do with my business. But the first thing you came in with was, hey, this is my vision for myself, my physical health. This is what I want to improve. And it's almost as if every pound that you shed and every time you went into the gym and paid your dues for that day, boom, I got this happening with the business. I have that happening with the business. You became a fine-tuned machine physically, but you were really seeing some incredible gains in this business that you're building and growing and creating.
And the best part
is amazing.
Best part is we're just getting started.
Yeah. And that's what we just said, you know, 2020, it's like, that's going to be your lift year where that plane is up and it's just going to accelerate. And, you know, the brand's going to go across the country and across the world.
Pay attention, everybody. Here I come. Well, Dana, thank you so much for joining us today on the Go Get It podcast. A reminder that today's show was brought to you by All Social. High fives to our show announcer, Charlie Toro, and to our producer, Christopher Disson, multi-talented Pro Tools aficionado and proof that nepotism is still alive and well. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you next time. Until then, go get it.